Hello everyone. Happy Love Month. I'm releasing this podcast on the 6th of February, which is a very important month for me as a queer matchmaker. I should introduce myself. I'm Kim. I'm a queer matchmaker and my business is called A Whole Orange. And it was actually born on Valentine's Day 4 years ago. And on Valentine's Day, you can expect an episode from me talking about how those 4 years have been and what's coming up in the future. But business birthdays aside, Valentine's Day does tend to rub people up the wrong way, I find. I mean, of course, it's a capitalist scheme to make money on cheap goods that are produced unethically and killing the planet. But I think instead of just saying that, we could also reject this idea of Valentine's Day and take it as a welcome reminder to engage wholesale in actually celebrating love. I mean love in all its forms. So we'll have to start by removing the heavy importance that's placed on romantic love, which is weird for me to say because it's literally my job to connect people with a romantic partner. By my existence as a queer matchmaker, I highlight that romantic love is something important. It's an important relationship to cultivate, something worth investing time and money in to find. But I'm aware that romance is only one pillar of love and connection. I don't preach that a partner is the most important connection you can find. But I also don't buy into the idea that in our culture of super individualistic thinking, that you can just love yourself enough and not need anyone else ever. This is so goofy. We are humans. We can't survive without connection. It's something that we need. So I work with clients one-on-one, and they are often surprised when I suggest matches for them that aren't romantic, or when I send over an event suggestion that is for an event that isn't specifically to do with dating. Partly I do this because I don't really care how they meet a partner, whether it's a date that I set up for them, or whether it's someone they met at a book launch I sent them to, or the cousin of the friend of the person I put them in touch with, so that they could meet up and complain together about being poly in a monogamous world, or vice versa. I think increasing your chances to connect with other humans in any way will help you find romantic partners too. It's all about connections, really, of all kinds. The other reason I do this is because if you only go on dates, like you spend all of your social time just going on dates, you will probably hate being single. And if you hate being single, that's not the best position from which to make decisions about a potential partner. Because you might end up with a really negative feeling about dating that makes you reluctant to meet anyone or take things further with anyone. Or on the other side of the coin, you may commit to the first person who likes you back just to get away from dating. Also, these other forms of connection and love, through these events and friendships and community, are important because when you see yourself just as a romantic interest, it can be kind of dehumanizing, especially if you use dating apps, because on a dating app, your existence as a potential date is boiled down to a short bio and your appearance. And I think this is part of what creates that empty feeling, that kind of yucky empty feeling that keeps you swiping on the app but ultimately still feeling disconnected and not really making the moves to meet up with anyone. And I think this is probably not an accident from dating app companies, if you think about it. And if you're single and you're missing out on these other forms of love and connection, it puts dating on such a pedestal. It turns the idea of a partner into a perfect and complete provider of salvation from all feelings of loneliness, isolation, disconnection, and no partner can ever be that for you. No partner can ever be that for anyone. So I started thinking seriously about these other forms of love about a year ago when my friend Beau lent me a book. It's called Conversations on Love by Natasha Lunn. Yes, my friend Beau, as in Beau from London Queer Mart, which is a queer art market that happens 4 times a year. I used to work with them on the market, but you should definitely go. If you're listening to this as it comes out, their next market is in Deptford on this Sunday. Anyway, the book came to me from Beau with loads of neon yellow sticky tabs poking out of the pages to mark the important bits, like loads. The side was thick with them. And this is a very good sign if someone lends you a book and there's loads of sticky tabs, or if there's notes in the margins. And yeah, it is a great book. It's basically a writer, journalist, Natasha Lunn, having a bunch of conversations with different experts about love, about different forms and aspects of love. And I'll definitely talk about this book again. This is not the last time. But the relevant quote that I wanted to mention for this episode that kind of started me thinking about this literally a year ago, is when Natasha says, "Maybe then it's about putting your efforts into finding different forms of love rather than thinking I need to be content on my own." And this was about feeling better, like how to feel better while being single and while looking for somebody to date, for a partner. And this is what Natasha says to Philippa Perry. Philippa Perry is a psychologist or psychoanalyst, I'm not sure, and an artist and an author of some wonderful books, especially The Book You Wish Your Parents Had Read is what it's called. Highly recommend. And there's one about love, but I haven't read that one yet. But the one about your parents, the book you wish your parents had read, is really about love and human relationships. Anyway, Philippa's talking about how romantic love is nice and all, but not the only or even the most important form of love available. And yes, I'm about to talk about all the different Greek words for love and the different forms. So I'm going to just read them out. I looked up the pronunciation, but if it's wrong, I'm sorry. There's eros, which is romantic, passionate love or sexual desire. Agape, which is unconditional love or love for community. Ludus, which is playful love. Pragma, which is long-standing love. Philautia, which is love of the self. Mania, which is obsessive love. Philia is a friendship bond. And storge or storge is familial love, or like a protective love between parents and children. Agape, it just sounds so wanky in my accent. Agape is what I want to focus on today. So that's charitable love for strangers, sort of like a selfless love for community. Well, that's how I'm going to take it anyway. So whether you're single or not, we humans need more than couple love. And so I've put together a framework on how to seek out these different forms of love. It's so typical of me to put together a framework. So today I'll be focusing on agape. And this community love is something that the queer community is in serious need of right now, and I want to give you some ideas on how to celebrate and feed into this agape, not just romantic love, this Valentine's Day and many days in the future. So here we go. So I've done community-based work for a decade at this point, but I've been thinking a lot about community lately in this more specific way. The other day I chatted to Kevin, who has built Together, which is a digital space for the LGBT community. I'll link it in the show notes. And he was telling me about his motivations and aims and his dreams for the future of Together. And since that conversation, I haven't been able to stop thinking about ways we can take better care of each other here in the queer community. I think ultimately we live in a hyper individualistic mindset, which doesn't do much for our own happiness and sense of meaning, but it does make us very easy to sell things to. So it makes sense really that that's the current situation. When we're separated out like this into individuals on our own and sort of pitted against each other for money, for jobs and work, for wealth, fame, beauty, all of these things which are purchased or aided by having money, then we are able to amass for ourselves, then what we are able to amass for ourselves becomes the defining feature of our worth. And where there is comparison, there is envy. You know, that they say comparison is the thief of joy, and the envy created by this is so real. Side note, it seems to be physically impossible for me to talk about envy without suggesting that everybody go and watch the ContraPoints video essay about envy. It's really good. And as Natalie says in that video, envy is the opposite of love. When you love someone, you think about them in a positive way, you celebrate when good things happen to them, you wish the best for them, and when you envy someone, you don't wish the best for them. And it's kind of impossible to have love and envy coexist harmoniously long term. You'll have to watch the video essay to discover in detail why envy is so poisonous and how it keeps us from being truly in community with each other. But what keeps running around my head is this idea that being commodified is like a form of dehumanization. And the cure for this commodification is community, I think. So by commodification, I do mean the transformation of a person into units of attention, so that the pink pound, happy pride month, hi gay, slay queen, shantay away into deals, vibe of like virtue signaling advertising companies, so they can sell things to you as someone who's part of like a queer target audience, not really seeing you as a person in the queer community, but as part of a target audience. And by a particular target audience, I mean a group at which a product such as a film or advertisement is aimed. And by community, as an alternative to that, I mean to be part of a group of people who share a sense of belonging, connection, and common values, where individuals feel supported and cared for and can contribute to something larger than themselves. So that was a Google AI definition of community. Unfortunately, I haven't read enough feminist theory to have a more impressive citation for defining community, but I'm sure that Google AI took from the very best thinkers. Anyway, so when we are seen as a target audience, we can be sold to and have our collective attention turned away from the ills and evils of the world and towards products and content. As a target audience, we can be sold the idea of a more worthy version of ourselves that will definitely be good enough this time, just as soon as it arrives in the post. It's dependent on a product. As a target audience, we can be manipulated against each other, tricked into indulging our own self-interest and taking part in the tradition at this point of turning on the most marginalized people in our community in order to get a slice of the pie for ourselves. And this has always happened, this kind of like, as soon as you get a bit of privilege and power, then turning and exerting that power on a more marginalized part of the community. Since the birth of the gay liberation movement, this has been the case, and it's getting worse with all the transphobia running particularly rife at the moment, more visibly rife, perhaps. As a community, however, we can support each other. We can boycott companies and practices that don't support our values. We can put our money and attention and love into the people and projects and businesses and spaces that do support our values. And by values, I do mean rights at this point. And yeah, the fight for queer liberation is more important than ever at the moment. Back to my conversation with Kevin. Kevin mentioned an old adage about how it's easy to break a finger, but a fist is more powerful. The stronger together, solidarity is a way to survive idea. And while many of us in the community are truly in immediate and urgent danger, all of us are valued more as commodities and customers than we are as people. We all need to, you know, we all need to fight against this and lean into community and away from just being seen as people to sell things to. All of us are sitting in target audiences and not all of us are in community. I think if we take Valentine's Day as a... I can't believe this is about Valentine's Day. Oh, okay. I think if we take Valentine's Day as a prompt to celebrate love, we should see it as a day to take a step towards each other and be in community. And I know what you're thinking. There is so much ethical perfectionism kicking around the place that you are probably thinking that it's snaky or selfish or superficial to show up to community without being seriously embroiled in the fight for queer liberation on an hourly and daily basis, that it's not enough to show up just to get some sense of love and safety, that it's not enough to show up just to feel some meaning, or even to show up just because you know that your crush is going to be there or that your friends are going. But it doesn't matter really why we show up for each other, as long as we do. As someone who has organized many community events and protests in the past, I can tell you that we don't need to all be endlessly devoted to the cause. If you are, that's great, and your help is vital and needed and welcome. But if the only benefit you bring is just to be there, that is enough. That's kind of the idea of community. Whether you go to a queer space and chat to one person or help out with something or just exist among your community, our community, you'll both contribute to and feel the community warmth. And that's what it's all about. That's what I want to encourage people to do. I'm just using Valentine's Day as an excuse to talk about this. So, how can we show up for community on the 14th of February and for many days to come? If you're based at home on Valentine's Day and you're not going out to something physically, there are ways to have digital interaction with the community. And I'm really bad with technology, so there's probably a lot of... I'm thinking about Discord, and it just shuts my brain off to think about Discord. There's lots of places where there is community online that you can engage with. I'm not the best person to talk about that. But to add to that, I want to say watching documentaries and TV shows and films and art that's been created by queer people or about us, preferably by us and about us, of course, that show what the queer community is capable of, that show our history and queer joy. That's a really beautiful way to engage with community digitally. And you can feel and know that you are part of that too. An easy suggestion is to watch Pride. I think we've probably all seen it by now. But there are loads of documentaries on YouTube for free and on a lot of streaming services. There's especially, I think on the BBC, there's some extra stuff up at the moment because it's LGBTQ plus History Month, as well as Love Month. There's also so many podcasts about queer history to listen to. I really like Queer and Gay Back in the Day. Black and Gay Back in the Day, not Queer and Gay. This is a really beautiful podcast. I think it was just kind of like a limited series, but it's about a young artist who's queer and black looking at an archived piece from an older artist and then talking to them about it. And yeah, it's really worth a listen. There's also an Instagram with all the artworks on, so you should check that out too. black and gay back in the day. And another way to engage in community online is to take a look at some queer fundraisers that need support. If you have some money to spare, donating a little bit of money if you can, or sharing them in your networks. Think medical care fundraisers. I know the Outside Project is raising money for the trans shelter. The Museum of Transology is raising money for their exhibition coming up. And just in general, most queer projects that you're aware of probably have a donation page, because we're all so underfunded. So donating a bit of money or sharing those pages is a really lovely way to engage with community. And if you're out and about on Valentine's Day, here are some ways you can give love into the community and feel that warmth as well. So the Museum of Transology that I mentioned, they are setting up their biggest exhibition. I think there's 1,000 artifacts from trans people across the UK. And this is, I mentioned artifacts to someone the other day and they were like, oh, they like dug up from the past. It's any objects that people want to donate to the archive that have something to do with their transition or their life as a trans person. And you can look at the artifacts and read people's stories about it. And they're setting up their biggest exhibition that they've ever done, which will be happening in March. But you can help out with setting it up over February, including on Valentine's Day. So I recommend signing up to help out with this incredible project. I will be there. Another way you can engage with community in person on Valentine's Day is to go to morning yoga at the LGBT Centre. It's free, it's very inclusive and supportive, and you can stick around afterwards to have a cup of tea and chat with other queer folk and just be in that space. It's a lovely space to be in. And you can go to lots of other queer spaces. There's the Common Press, Queer Circle, Queer Britain, Gays the Word, and then like so many, well, not so many, not definitely not enough, nightlife spaces, but these ones are kind of more daytime or more wholesome. And if you want some specific event suggestions, I've added a few on Instagram in the post about this episode. So have a look there. A whole orange dot matchmaking. And a final way to engage with community, this is a little bit cheeky of me, but I am in my Deptford and Southeast London in general bubble. So it would be really lovely if you could comment suggestions for other spaces for people to visit on Valentine's Day, other TV shows, films, documentaries, other ways to engage with community, podcasts. I'm especially looking for recommendations if you have any. So there's a comment section on the Instagram post and on Spotify, if you're listening to this on Spotify. So give out some suggestions there so you can offer that sense of community to other people and they can enjoy them too. I want to end with something encouraging that my friend Ro said the other day. I mean, it feels encouraging to me. I hope it feels encouraging to you too. They said it when we were talking about a queer archiving project that we're working on. We're going to have a in-person living archive event on the 7th of March in Deptford Lounge, which is basically, we'll have people sitting around on tables on their own and you can go up and ask them about their story and they'll tell it to you as a living archive. So we were talking about that and why we think it's important to do it. If that sounds interesting to you, I will put a link to get involved if you'd like to tell your story, if you'd just like to come and have conversations with people. But what they said was archiving is important because it lets you know that there has always been a fight and there will always be a fight, so you have to pace yourself. And yeah, we'll do this together. We will We'll do it together as a community. Have a lovely February. Have a lovely week or so leading up to Valentine's Day. And yeah, bye.